I'm Larry O'Connor. Look at that. Mercedes Schlapp is sitting in for a vacationing Brian Wilson.
You can call me Princess Mercedes.
Well, you are in the princess culture, Mercedes. You are a Fox News contributor, former Bush administration official, and it's good to have you here this morning. Also joining us live in studio, it's Tom Fitton. He's the grand poobah over there at Judicial Watch, sort of What's the best thing to describe Judicial Watch? You're they call you a judicial watchdog group.
Yeah, we're a government watchdog group. We're technically an educational foundation. But
right now, you're Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare. I know that that's not your reason for being, but that's sort of how it's worked out.
And well, you end up asking questions. Everyone's Hillary's worst nightmare for someone who, if you ask questions of her, she thinks you're an enemy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the questions that will be asked today of one Brian Pagliano. Now, for those of you who are just passively watching the Hillary Clinton scandal, you might not know that name. But Brian Pagliano is sort of a pivot person here in this entire email scam, right? He's the guy who worked for the State Department, but at the same time drew a check from the Clinton Foundation, was it? Or from that's still somewhat unclear.
Well, I don't know if he was paid separately by Mrs. Clinton, supposedly to do her email system, support her email system.
He set it up, though. He was the guy who set up all the tech behind ClintonEmail.com.
Well, you know, we're told that, but we don't know that because no one's testified to that, and that's why we want to take his testimony. He worked for the Clinton operation to the Clinton campaign in 2008, became a political appointee in their computer operation. Now, Mercedes, you know what political appointees typically do. You normally don't go in there asking for a political appointment to provide computer IT support.
Right,
that is
right.
Odd, I have to say.
It would be an advisor, a policy person or something. You don't say, this is a political appointee.
Let's put him
in charge of computers and the networks.
But Congress has wanted to talk to him because the reports are he was providing tech support for her computer system, went up to Chappaqua supposedly. He asserted the Fifth Amendment rather than talk to Congress, and the Congress, rather than make him come in and take the Fifth Amendment, said, we're not going to take testimony. He then has gotten immunity agreements of some type with the Justice Department in this criminal investigation, which is another word of controversy.
Yes, the FBI criminal investigation.
And we wanted to talk to him, too, in our discovery. The court wants answers. And he told us he's going to take the Fifth, and we shouldn't even videotape his deposition. And we had a fight over that. The judge says, well, you can videotape his deposition, but it has to be under seal like the other videos are. But the transcript will be available, and we're going to ask him these questions under oath. And if he takes the Fifth Amendment, in certain circumstances, a court can draw adverse inferences, which is the lawyer way of saying use it against you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not inconsequential
for
him to take
suit.
The Fifth case.
What's the timing on it in terms of in getting his transcript or getting the
information? It should be available in the next few days. The government may take some time to review the transcript. I doubt they will in this case, so it could be available later this week.
What's the national security implications of somebody constantly invoking the Fifth Amendment?
If he's to invoke the Fifth Amendment to each question, as he supposedly is planning to do, he has to have a credible, reasonable fear of prosecution that every answer he gives will require him to invoke the Fifth.
But Hillary Clinton has told us that she did nothing wrong. There was nothing illegal about this, and she wants all the information out. So this guy he owes his job to Hillary Clinton. He got this job as a political appointment. Why can't she pick up the phone and say, Brian, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't break the law. Don't invoke the Fifth. Tell Tom Fitton and Congress what they want to know. Why doesn't that happen?
Well, I don't know.
We're trying to find out.
At least, what's even more interesting is folks like Cheryl Mills are invoking attorney-client privileges in order not to tell us what went on.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the alleged client? Mrs. Clinton. And that's something where she really could waive the privilege if she wanted to. Of course, you could always cooperate with Judicial Watch and just come in and be deposed as well.
Where does that stand, by the way? Are you going to depose the former Secretary of State?
Well, we haven't gotten back to Judge Sullivan yet. We said we might want to depose him and depose her in this case, but there's a separate case where we have been granted discovery by Judge Royce Lamberth, who's another federal court judge here at the district, where we're asking directly for her testimony, and he hasn't ruled whether her testimony is going to be required yet. But we do want to talk to her at least one of our cases.
Brian Pagliano today, June 28th, 1 week from yesterday, will be Huma Abedin. And then the day after that will be Patrick Kennedy, the former Undersecretary of Management.
Current Undersecretary of Management.
He's still got the gig
over
at the State Department. And then that's pretty much it for your discovery, except for the testimony of the former Secretary of State.
No, we have Judge Lamberth has a request for more discovery.
Okay.
In terms of more witnesses. And then Judge Sullivan has said, well, this is you can come back if you want some additional discovery, but you do have to come back. And we may come back and ask for additional discovery. We may have to come back and say, hey, Cheryl Mills, when she took all these answers off the table, didn't answer our questions, we may want to force her to answer these questions and try to burst through this privilege that she's trying to assert.
Can I add, and I'm sorry for Mercedes, I'll let you get in here with a question, but there's one other train of thought here on the Cheryl Mills thing. She invoked attorney-client privilege with regard to questions that you were asking about her time at the State Department, right? Where she was the chief of staff how could she serve as the secretary's attorney and be a government employee, my employee, as the chief of staff of the State Department? You can't wear both hats, can you?
I think to the degree she was asserting a privilege, it was after she left where she was playing, lawyer for Mrs. Clinton. For instance, she talked to Brian Pagliano and found out a lot about the email system. And Brian talked to her, supposedly.
We don't have that information.
But she won't say what it was because
it happened after she was.
Yeah, we can't get the details about those conversations because of this privilege that she's asserted. We don't necessarily buy that it applies, not in this circumstance.
But she's asserting it.
You know, she's talking not to Hillary Clinton, her client, but to someone else.
Now, the FBI said that they're planning on talking to Hillary Clinton. Do we know when this could happen? How does that impact what you all are looking for in terms of of the discovery?
Yeah, I don't know what the FBI is doing. I do know. I do know every time we've gotten discovery rulings, a week or two later, the first ruling, the FBI said we want to talk to the people Judicial Watch wants to talk to.
Interesting.
Not in so many
words.
Well,
no, but that's.
Yeah.
The second time we got discovery ruling in our favor, the FBI again says we really want to talk to those people. And indeed, they did talk allegedly to a few of those
folks. So they're watching carefully what you all are doing.
I think the fact that the courts are allowing discovery in our case are incentivizing the FBI to proceed and the Justice Department to proceed in their cases.
Tom Fitton is going to stay with us through this half hour to talk about this and some other blockbuster stories that hit yesterday, including the Clinton Foundation's computer systems being hacked. I know you can shed some light on that as well. But one last question about your
I did not do the hacking.
Right, exactly. Good to know.
He is not Lucifer.
But today's testimony with Brian Pagliano, the deposition that you're going to have, he's going to be invoking the Fifth. He has immunity right now. Now, did the judge in your case review that immunity deal and determine whether or not his immunity deal covers anything that he might say in your deposition? And if so, why doesn't it cover it? And do we have a better idea of what exactly his immunity deal is?
Yeah, we don't, because the judge, in arguing with, you know, he was deciding whether to grant Mr. Pagliano's effort to not have his Fifth Amendment invocations videotaped. The judge just says, well, give me your immunity agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And they filed two immunity agreements, and the judge looked at them as keeping them under seal, so we haven't even seen them
yet.
Oh,
all right. So only the judge has seen it.
Yeah, but there is something there that it supposedly might allow him to assert the Fifth. But again, it's a question-by-question test, so it may be laborious work for our lawyers, but it will have consequences.
And is the judge going to be in the room during the deposition too?
He wants the transcript and the videotape when we get him.
All right. More with Tom Fitton and Mercedes Schlupp. And I want to know, actually, we may have some light shed on these missing 30,000 some odd personal yoga lesson emails that Hillary Clinton has deleted, again, thanks to Tom Fitton's efforts at Judicial Watch. So we'll get into that as well. Email, we continue here, Mercedes Schlapp and I, Larry O'Connor, do with Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, who's in studio with us for the half hour, and we appreciate it because there's a lot of stories. In fact, Mercedes, what broke yesterday that we need to know?
Well,
about?
What broke yesterday is we saw these Russian hackers infiltrate the DNC, and they were able to get information about the Clinton Foundation. And the DNC had produced this document basically saying, what do we need to do to defend Hillary Clinton through all of her allegations of the Clinton Foundation? It was a breach that was discovered by government investigators as recently as last week. And I think that Hillary Clinton should be a little bit worried about this, as we know, because that's one of her weakest points, the Clinton Foundation. Tom, what can you tell us about these Russian hackers?
Well, Bloomberg is reporting that the breach was even more significant than just the DNC. The Russians were targeting all of the political class in Washington, and not just politicians, but others. And even the Clinton Foundation itself was breached. And the foundation may not have known about it, but I guess these days the FBI can watch what's going on and know that you've been breached prior to your own Brian Pagliano telling you you've been hacked.
Is there a danger here, Tom Finn, with regard to hacking? I think most of the people that know, who take this stuff very seriously about the secure data that our government is involved in, most people who understand those systems and understand what our enemies are trying to do, they assume that Hillary Clinton's emails were hacked. I mean, we had Lanny Davis on here, part of the Clinton family, for crying out loud, and he said, I assume that her emails were hacked by our foreign enemies. There's obviously a danger of information falling into their hands. But what about all this ancillary stuff? You know, a Huma Abedin, a Cheryl Mills, other people who were close to her were also part of those emails. Aren't they ripe for exposure and potential blackmail and national security breaches if their secrets are exposed by our enemies? That's why we use these secure systems, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And you don't know, in terms of the classified information and the sensitive information that was on there, that they can use in the future, and putting others at risk as well. This is the danger of leaving your email on the equivalent of an internet park bench,
yeah,
which is what Mrs. Clinton did by using this separate system that wasn't secure at all. Not that the government systems are as secure as they should be, but at least there's at least a level of security and accountability there that we didn't have with Mrs. Clinton and her top people. You know, we've looked at all of these emails. We're still getting Mrs. Clinton's emails at the State Department that haven't been released.
Right.
And
official government emails.
Yeah, that Mrs. Clinton didn't turn over, but the State Department has.
Yeah.
And or the Huma Abedin had. And Abedin was talking about her schedules. I just couldn't believe what you're reading there, because it was so sensitive in terms of Mrs. Clinton's going
to
be here at this specific time,
talking
and traveling here,
people,
and the president will meet her. Why is the security information being put out there? Well, and it's not being hacked at once. My guess is it was being looked at real time.
Hmm.
Yeah, which is even worse.
It's absolutely scary. It drives me. I worked at the White House. It was made very clear to us that there was no personal business that was should be conducted on our email. You obviously did your work on a government email, and the mere fact that Hillary Clinton, that they just, she plays it off like it's no big deal, that she calls it this, what she called it, what, not an FBI investigation, but it's security inquiry.
Security inquiry.
It just makes, it really shows that there is this disregard for what the government rules are. And I think the State Department made it very clear that, she should have followed the rules, and she didn't. And I think that there should be consequences associated with that.
Well, it's a potential violation of the Espionage Act. It's not just a fight about FOIA or federal records laws. The Espionage Act, if you do things that are negligent like this, it doesn't matter whether you intend to release it secret info, but if you negligently handle it, it's really you have potential criminal liability.
All right, a little bit more here while we've got you, Tom Fitton, in studio. We're talking about his Judicial Watch FOIA lawsuits. You've got a few going on right now, and I understand, I saw a headline that suggested that a judge has sort of put the kibosh on one of your lawsuits. Is that the case, or is it just a temporary pause?
Yeah, well, you know, we were one of our cases that was upended through the Clinton email system, where the judge was reopened the case, which is extraordinary. And we didn't want the case to end because the State Department wanted it to end. We said, what about the Clinton emails that hadn't been searched yet and things like that? And you allowed her to leave the government without these documents,
yes,
with these documents. So we said, we want discovery here in this limited case. And the government said, well, Judicial Watch has discovery in two cases, and just went ballistic.
Hmm.
And rather than kind of dealing with it directly here, the judge says, well, you know what, let the discovery continue in those other cases. I'm not going to let the Justice Department and the State Department shut it down. I'm not going to give Judicial Watch discovery yet, but we'll just put it
plays out.
We'll put the case on hold.
Is it why the State Department is saying that's going to take 75 years to get?
Oh, that's for the RNC request for emails. That's a whole other thing, 70 years. One last thing, Tom Finn. I think when this email scandal first broke, a lot of people were jarred by the idea of Hillary Clinton and her aides and lawyers going through email by email saying, yep, give the government that one, this one.
It's not her property.
Delete. That one's the government's, this one's mine, because it's personal. That's the whole reason why you don't mix your personal
right
and your public email. These 31,000 quote-unquote personal emails, are you able to get to those? Through the judicial process, can you FOIA them? Can you get these emails? Will the courts let you? And are they even physically available anywhere?
Oh, that's one of the ultimate goals. Mrs. Clinton's never said, maybe she has, but when she first described it, she said, I did not keep the emails. What does that mean? And her lawyer said they're no longer on the server. We're convinced they're still out there.
They're somewhere.
And frankly, Judge Sullivan is concerned about that process that you described as well. You know, government officials I can't leave government and then decide which records are government and not. That's the government's job to do. And the judge at a hearing earlier this year, he was threatening to tell the State Department to subpoena all the records on Clinton's email system. And he said, I may still do that. So our goal, one of our goals ultimately, is to get all the records that we should have, including those allegedly personal emails, reviewed by the government under the Freedom of Information Act. And if they're truly personal, we won't see them, nor do we want to see them. But obviously, we don't trust Mrs. Clinton to tell us what's personal.
Tom, but
what's
this
not.
Is such a massive undertaking. Yeah. I mean, is it a bit overwhelming for Judicial Watch to be just involved in all these different cases?
It's keeping us busy. And the State Department and the Justice Department aren't as accommodating as they should be.
Well, thank you, Tom Fitton. And that's why if you like what Tom Fitton is doing and his organization, you need to go to judicialwatch.org and help them out. It is a nonprofit, and they are doing very important work. Tom Fitton, always good to have you. Happy summer to you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
It is, and good luck today with your deposition. And Appreciate Brian Pugliano, we want updates.
I'm sure our lawyers will do an able job.